I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match.
Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here. You can find me at chrisannhall.com, K-R-I-S-A-N-N-E-H-A-L-L.com. I am so pleased to be able to be here with you today. Such an honor to have you listening to the Chris Ann Hall Show. You know, we are working very, very hard to bring liberty and the truth of the Constitution throughout the United States. I teach about 265 classes in over 20 states every single year. And I want to give you our Liberty First Brigade, our Chris Ann Hall Show listeners, an opportunity to participate in this battle for liberty. You see, this the first time in 4 years, we are holding a fundraiser week. I am not a 501c3, so any donations that you make to me will not be tax deductible, but they will go to the preservation of liberty, to the preservation of the republic, to teaching the truth to all ages and all peoples. You see, I don't have speaking fees. You know that about me. I don't make any group compensate me for travel or accommodations, but I am not independently wealthy, and I don't have any grants from anybody, not even from the Koch brothers. And so I rely on the sale of the books and your donations. And so this week only, we are having a fundraiser week. And I want to invite you to please go to my website, chrisannhall.com, K-R-I-S-A-N-N-E-H-A-L-L.com, and review the material that I have available. If you like what we're doing, if you support the truth that we're teaching and the way that we're teaching it, would you please consider sowing the seed to help us continue to do that? Help us continue to offer these classes for free. And to even expand liberty lessons. We have some pressing needs. We have some issues with my car. Because of all the traveling that I do, my car has over 250,000 miles on it. I thought we were over 300, but not yet. Over 250,000 miles on my car. And I need to do some repairs. Now, as you can imagine, working the way that I do, relying on the income the way that I do, speaking and that sort of thing, I don't have a steady enough income to go to a car dealership, trade in my car, and get a new car. I simply don't have that luxury. There's not a single place on the planet that is going to give me a loan to buy a new car. And I don't have stored up, you know, $10,000 to put down on a car. And so we take good care of my car, and we make sure that it will continue to run. The last vehicle that I had, we had well over 300,000 miles on it, and we need to make some repairs to it. We also need to purchase plane tickets and hotels and rental cars to continue to teach. We want to expand the Liberty First ministry. I really would like to start online classes. Classes that are in greater detail than I teach on the road, that would be available 24/7 for people. Online classes, a Liberty classroom for people to be able to get this teaching to many, many more people all over the country, all over the world. I have followers who are learning about liberty through the Liberty First Ministry all over the world. This show is actually broadcast in Canada. Thank you to our Canadian liberty lovers. It is also broadcast in the UK. Thank you to our UK liberty lovers. Our history of our Constitution rests within your heritage. And so we are looking for a few good people willing to sow the seeds of liberty for our future generations. And just a few dollars by everybody who is listening to this show would give us all we needed to get these things done. Just a few dollars. If everybody listening to this program went to my website and donated a $5 cup of coffee from Starbucks or from Dunkin' Donut or wherever your favorite coffee shop is, and we would have what we need to get through the entire year of the Liberty First Ministry. And so I want to thank you by faith and in anticipation of your generosity. I want to thank you for helping us preserving liberty. Thank you for sowing the seed to our future generations. Your donations will help me give away my books to young people when I teach in the schools and in the colleges, something that I love doing and I would love to continue to do. So thank you for your support, because you see, we are in a very precarious position. We are about to lose many, many liberties. We are losing many liberties because of our ignorance. The First Amendment is under attack, America, under violent attack. And unfortunately, we are going to lead the way for the destruction of our of our own liberties. I'm just sort of chuckling, not out of funny laughter, but just out of funny irony laughter. Samuel Adams said, "No people will tamely surrender their liberties when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved. But to the contrary, when we become universally ignorant and debauched in our manners," he said, "we will sink underneath our own weight without the aid of foreign invaders." You know, we have this crisis of foreign terrorists being brought into our country under the guise of refugee status. And you see these reports of ISIS training camps in America and the threats against our friend Pam Geller and anybody who would dare draw a cartoon of a person named Muhammad. And now you have these threats. And it turns out right now, our biggest threat to liberty is ourselves. We have become so universally ignorant in America of the value of freedom of speech and freedom of press and the right to peaceably assemble, the right to petition the government for a redress of our grievances, freedom of religion, all at stake. And it's interesting because now this freedom is being attacked. We're going to cleanse our history. We're going to cleanse our history from the books because we and from our sight because we don't like what it says. Patrick Henry said, "I have but one lamp by which my feet are guided, and that is the lamp of experience. I know no way to judge the future but by the past." You see, history always repeats. But those who do not know their history are doomed to repeat its mistakes, America. We are doomed to repeat some mistakes because we are destined to cleanse our history from the eyes of our future, and we will never know what really, really happened. You know, people don't revise history openly. because the you know, ha ha ha, we want to remove truth from the vision of our future generations. Ha ha ha. No, that's not how it comes to it. No, no, no. We have to eliminate this blight on our history. We have to make ourselves look better. This history shows that we were wrong and that we showed hatred of people. And so we need to get rid of this history. Let me ask you something. Does destroying every symbol that offends us remove the hate in men's hearts? Of course not. But you see, there's a greater danger than flying a Confederate flag, or selling a Confederate flag on Amazon or eBay, or allowing a Confederate flag on a license plate. There is a greater danger than that, because hate does not exist in objects. Guns don't kill people, and flags don't hate. But a government can disarm the people. And the government can condemn symbols, and both are a mechanism towards enslaving people. A government that can ban a flag can force you to fly one. A government that can rewrite history to remove the unpleasant things is a government that can shape the future into something you don't want. You see, that government will soon determine what is good, what is bad, what is acceptable, and what is permissible. And once we get to that kind of government, free thought is dead, wisdom is dead, liberty is dead in society. You know, the only hope that remains is knowing that government didn't give us liberty. Men don't give us rights, and so they can't take them away. Liberty is a gift from God to all who have life. It will forever endure in our hearts, even though it may lie dormant for a season. Silence do good, Benjamin Franklin wrote in 1722. Without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom, and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech, which is the right of every man as far as by it he does not hurt or control the right of another. And this is the only check it ought to suffer, and the only bounds it ought to know.
Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So why would the government want to ban flags? Why would the government want to control speech? You know, I even saw a reporter, the irony of this statement, I saw a reporter say that the government should throw anyone into prison who uses the N-word. Well, I think actually his words were, any white person who uses the N-word. Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's absolutely insane that someone in the media who is dependent upon the First Amendment for the very livelihood that lines their pocketbook would say something that the government should throw everybody in prison who says the N-word. But then to further define that and say, no, 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 no. We're not just simply going to make a word illegal. We're going to make it illegal for certain classes of people to use that word. Some classes of people are going to use that word and be okay, and other classes of people will go to prison. Are you stinking kidding me? How do you make those defining lines of classification? How do you determine who is black and who is white in America? I mean, this is a very legitimate question with everything that we're seeing. Do you know I mean, you all have, if you've been to my website or you've been to my Facebook page, you've seen pictures of my husband. Do you know I just got back from Owensboro, Kentucky, where my husband's great-great-grandfather, I guess it was probably great-great-great-grandfather, I don't know, the greats are in there somewhere, great-great-great-grandfather was honored for being a black slave who fought in the Civil War. My husband, his cousins are black. We met them. My father-in-law, his father is a black man. My children's great-grandfather is a black man. His mother was black. His father was black. You look at my husband, do you think he's black? Oh my goodness, you look at my daughter. There is no way. The poor child is pasty as a white piece of paper. You going to tell me she's not black? Her great-grandfather is. See how this is when we allow government to define people based on classifications and based on their visual perceptions. Are we going to start DNA testing people to determine what words they can and cannot use? Really? Because that's the assertion here. As ridiculous as it sounds, we have members of the media asking for people to be thrown into prison for using words. Welcome to a fundamentally transformed America. And so, what do we do? We must become educated. We must understand what Benjamin Franklin was saying and who the enemies are and why they're doing them. I'm just going to simply repeat what Franklin said because I didn't finish the whole quote. I want you to hear this. Without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as freedom as wisdom, no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech, which is the right of every man. Not just those who fit the color paradigm. As far as by he does it not hurt, by he do, here we go, Franklin, thank you very much. As far as by it he does not hurt or control the right of another. And this is the only check it ought to suffer, and the only bounds it ought to know. Now listen to what he says. This sacred privilege is so essential to free governments that the security of property and the freedom of speech always go together. And in those wretched countries where a man cannot call his tongue his own, he can scarce call anything else his own. Why would people in government want to control what flag you fly and what words you say? Because once they do that, nothing you own is sacred. You own nothing. Everything is up for the government to take from you. You will not only take everything from you, but they will take your liberty. Because a government that can control your speech can control your mind. And they will limit you into self-censorship and self-enslavement.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
You know, I think we've forgotten the fact that freedom of speech should extend to our representatives as well. I think because of this misapplication of separation of church and state, this idea that our representatives cannot talk about their faith in their job, you know, we can't talk about the fact that our moral compass leads us to vote the way we vote or not vote the way we vote. And so We have been placing the duct tape over the mouths of our representatives for so long over this matter of religion that we have just simply expanded it to everything now. And we have our representatives being openly, blatantly, boldly, and publicly punished by their own political party for speaking their minds, for operating according to their conscience, and, oh my goodness, for voting according to their constituencies. I mean, I'll remind you that when John Boehner was up for election in the House to be the Speaker of the House, there was an overwhelming cry all over the country by the people whom these representatives represent: do not vote Boehner into office. Vote for someone else. Do not vote for John Boehner. And there were those bold people who voted against John Boehner, and they have been punished by John Boehner for listening to their people. You have those who denied the voice of their people, voted for John Boehner, and they're being rewarded. Why? Because Congress no longer recognizes the people as their control. Congress no longer recognizes that they are representatives of the people. They believe that they are representatives of the party. Listen to every single election chant. It's all about party. We have to make sure that our party, oh my goodness, why isn't this resonating? Why isn't this loud and clear? Why isn't this just flashing through our faces every single time we hear this garbage? You can't vote for that guy because our party will lose power. You can't do that because we have to keep our party loyalty and we can't break party ranks. Do you hear this? Do you hear what we are saying? Our representatives no longer represent the people. They represent parties. When was the last time you heard an overwhelming cry within Congress, oh no, we must vote this way because our people will lose control? We must vote according to the dictates of our constituents so that our constituents will not lose control. We have representatives who are voting for things that take power from the people and destroy the limitations of our Constitution. They're voting for things because the party demands it. They're not even reading it. You know, you have heard me talk about TPP and TPA, the unconstitutional nature of these fast-track trade bills, the fact that these international executive orders have no place in the Constitution, have no place in a place built upon liberty. We have had national executive orders and we have felt the threat, we have felt the punishment of national executive orders that our Congress allows to continue on a regular basis. And now we're about to feel the weight of international executive orders. That's what this TPP and TPA does. And America, the educated constituency in America, are vehemently opposed to this. But we have our politicians running around teaching our people lies because the establishment wants them to, because it's about party. You know, Marco Rubio cast the deciding vote for Obama trade in the Senate, and he never even read it. How does Marco Rubio now represent his people? Has Marco Rubio believe because he is running for president that he no longer has to be senator to the people of Florida? His office is still outright refusing to answer whether he even knew what he was voting on. That refusal is answer enough. The deciding vote for Obama trade on Tuesday squeaked through the U.S. Senate 60-37 thanks to Marco Rubio. Is this the kind of president we want, or perhaps vice president that we want? I want you to know that you will be voting for a man who can vote for the destruction of the Constitution without even reading it. You know, I don't really know what's worse, voting for the destruction of the Constitution without reading it or voting for it after you've read it. 60 people voted for this piece of garbage, for the destruction of our Constitution, for international executive orders. How many of them actually read it and still voted for it? You know, I wonder. I bet the overwhelming majority of those who voted for it didn't even read it. Because they don't care. Because they don't represent us anymore. They represent the party. And the establishment party is now pushing this Obama trade, and they think they will have it passed in the House by the end of the week. We got to make sure this doesn't happen, people. We need to make sure that our representatives know just how wicked this is. There's an article that I've written on Western Journalism about this. I'm going to post it again on my Facebook page, and I'm going to tweet it out again. I want you to please help me get this in front of the faces of our House reps and let them know they cannot vote for this. They cannot. And if they do, then we will hold them accountable. They need to fear us and not John Boehner. You know, the crazy thing is that we have John Boehner running around punishing people for following their conscience and for following those wishes of their constituencies. How crazy is that? House Oversight and Government Reform Chairman John Chaffetz has stripped North Carolina Rep. Mark Meadows of his subcommittee chairmanship just days after he defied leadership on the House floor by voting against party line procedural motion. This is all about TPP and TPA. He voted against this, and they stripped him of his chairmanship. That is stripping him of power within the House of Representatives. Now, that in and of itself is a whole big problem, that we have these chairmanships and these this establishment of offices within the office where certain representatives have more power than others. You know, we are built on a constitutional republic where it's supposed to be creating equal representation. That's the whole understanding of a republic, that all people have power and equal power through equal representation. That's the beauty of a constitutional republic, that minority groups can have a society-changing voice because laws are created through equal representation. We are so far from equal representation today, and we have almost completely lost it thanks to John Boehner and the establishment Republicans within the party who will now punish our representatives for following the will of their people. How crazy is this? I just want to know, how is it that we just simply brush this off like somebody stepped on an ant? Oh, no big consequence. No really big deal. And now we have the GOP leadership. Craziness. The GOP leadership punishing people for voting against the GOP leadership. How is that possible? When the GOP funds people like Lindsey Graham and John McCain, who are recognized by the other party as being their tools, John McCain speaks at more Democratic functions than he does Republican functions. We have the Republican Party going to fund people like Chris Christie running for office. people who clearly stand against the Republican Party platform. And the Republican Party is going to take Republican dollars and fund these people in their campaigns. But don't you dare vote against the Republican leadership. Because if you vote against the Republican leadership, then you will be punished. You can vote with the Democrats. You can do like John McCain and say, oh, I don't know if I could support a Republican president against Hillary Clinton. Yeah, he said that. And you can fund them. But pick a thing that's important to the establishment and vote against them? Oh, no, 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 no. How dare you? And here we have the day that George Washington warned us about. Yes, George Washington warned us in his farewell address about the very day we are experiencing now. George Washington knew about John Boehner and talked about him in his farewell address. John Boehner and Harry Reid were identified in George Washington's farewell address. The address that George Washington, the last words that this first president of our current Constitution would ever say. He took the time to make some very serious warnings, and he told us about John Boehner and Harry Reid. The weapon of my choice, don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your own man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up. I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
George Washington, in his farewell address, warned us about party factions. He says, in contemplating the causes which may disturb our union, it occurs as matter of serious concern that any ground should have been given furnished for characterizing parties. Now, he's going to talk about geographical discriminations, northern and southern, Atlantic and western. But you see, the whole principle here is to have parties by dividing lines. He says one of the expedients of a party to acquire influence within a particular district or particular division is to misrepresent the opinions and aims of other divisions. You cannot shield yourself too much against the jealousies and heartburnings which spring from these misrepresentations. They tend to render alien to each other those who ought to be bound together by fraternal actions. This is the president giving us his last words, concerned about what's going to disrupt the union. He says these parties, they serve to organize faction, to give it an artificial and extraordinary force. This is just, I mean, this should give you goosebumps. To put in the place of a delegated will of the nation, the will of the party. That's what we're experiencing today. We are no longer operating under the will of the delegates who sent the people who sent these people to office, the will of the constituencies. We are now operating under the will of parties. He says, often a small but artful and enterprising minority of the community, these parties may be, and according to alternate triumphs of different parties, to make the public administration the mirror of the ill-concerted and incongruous project of a faction, rather than the organ of consistent and wholesome plans digested by common councils and modified by mutual interests. He's trying to warn us that parties will become so self-centered and so individual-centered that the people will be ruled by the party and we're going to become a monarchy. He said, the alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries has perpetrated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism. Party politics, by George Washington's words, is a frightful despotism. He says this leads at length to a more formal and permanent despotism. The disorders and miseries which result gradually incline the minds of men to seek security and repose in the absolute power of an individual. Enter John Boehner, Harry Reid, and the establishment. And sooner or later, the chief of some prevailing faction. The Speaker of the House, who is no longer the Speaker of the House, he's the Speaker of the party. The chief of some prevailing faction, more able or more fortunate than his competitors, turns this disposition to the purposes of his own elevation on the ruin of public liberty. Then listen to this warning. He says, it serves always to distract the public councils and enfeeble the public administration. It agitates the community with ill-founded jealousies and false alarms, kindles the animosity of one part against the other, foments occasional riot and insurrection. It opens the door to foreign influence and corruption, which finds a facilitated access to the government itself through channels of party passions. Thus, the policy and the will of the country are subjected to the policy and will of another. This describes what we are operating with in Congress right now, and George Washington warned us about that. We need to begin to actually embrace liberty first principles. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Because you see, the party will not govern itself out of those in power. We must stand up and say, no, we will not support party. We will support principle. And we will no longer support people who do not reflect our principles. It is time for us to speak up, stand out, and fight this corruption. God bless. See you tomorrow.